We're at Deuteronomy chapter 9 in our reading together. So if you turn to Deuteronomy 9, if you care to stand during the reading, that would be appropriate for as long as you can. Deuteronomy 9. Hear, O Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, great cities fortified to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them, and he will subdue them before you, so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. Do not say in your heart when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you, in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Even at Horeb you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was angry with you. The Lord was so angry with you that he would have destroyed you. When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord had made with you, then I remained on the mountain 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. And the Lord gave me the 2 tablets of stone written by the finger of God, and on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken with you at the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. And it came about at the end of 40 days and nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, arise, go down from here quickly, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten image for themselves. The Lord spoke further to me, saying, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stubborn people. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mountain while the mountain was burning with fire, and the 2 tablets of the covenant were in my 2 hands. And I saw that you had indeed sinned against the Lord your God. You had made for yourselves a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took hold of the 2 tablets and threw them from my hands and smashed them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you had committed in doing, which was evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was wrathful against you in order to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me that time also. And the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. So I also prayed for Aaron at that time. And I took your sinful thing, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it, grinding it very small until it was as fine as dust. And I threw its dust into the brook that came down from the mountain. Again at Terebah, and at Massah, and at Kibroth-Hattaava, you provoked the Lord to wrath. And when the Lord sent you from Kadesh-Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You neither believed him nor listened to his voice. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day I knew you. So I fell down before the Lord the 40 days and nights which I did, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. And I prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord God, do not destroy thy people, even thine inheritance, whom thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, whom thou hast brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look at the stubbornness of this people or at their wickedness or their sin. Otherwise the land from which thou didst bring us may say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he had promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people, even thine inheritance, whom thou hast brought out by thy great power and thine outstretched arm. Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Deuteronomy 9:4. Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. This morning, we're once again presented with the reality that needs to be at the forefront of our every thought in terms of the life that we have been given to live on this earth by the Lord. All that we are in Christ is because of the work of God in us. There is nothing that we can do to earn it. There is no inherent worthiness that made God choose us. There is nothing that has brought us to the place that we can claim that we deserve the best that God has to offer. Just as with the children of Israel, we cannot delude ourselves in any measure thinking that we are someone whom God has to honor with all the goodness of his heart, because it would be wrong of him not to do so. In all humbleness and with greatest meekness before God, we need to allow God to establish the proper perspective of our lives as we walk with him. We are not trying to insinuate that we are worthless, nor are we diminishing our identity as the creation of God. But the fact remains that the great issue with which man has always been beset is the inflated sense of his own selfhood. There has been that within the core of humanity that has tried to replace God and the need for God with the deluded lie that we can be as gods unto ourselves. We are constantly bombarded with the subterfuge and deception that we have no need of some entity other than our own ingenuity and prideful ability to reason our way through the course of our physical lives on this earth. That is the core element that God addresses in these words from the mouth of Moses to his people, which includes you and me, which we all need to take to heart. This was reinforced over and over again by the Lord through Moses, such as in our previous readings in this very book of the Bible. Please turn back a couple of passages which we have already discussed, starting with Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 and 8. Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 8. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. just as with the tribes of Israel. The Lord did what the Lord chose to do because it was His good pleasure. He did not choose the Israelites, as we discussed, because they were some large and powerful nation that would march through the land with all the force of their own might. He chose a people which needed everything to be done by God in order to shower His good and wonderful providential hand of love and safekeeping and mercy and grace and provision upon them. He showed through this small and insignificant people the might of His own omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence in order to reveal to the whole of humanity that He is the sovereign Lord God Almighty who is going before a people whom He has chosen for Himself. Now turn to last week's reading, Deuteronomy 8, 16 through 18, and please follow along. Moses made known to them the full measure of why God was doing all that He was doing for them. Deuteronomy 8, 16 through 18. In the wilderness, He fed you manna which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, "My power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth." But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. We need to constantly remind ourselves that God deserves the every credit for all that we have. He is the one who makes the every provision, from the oxygen that fills our lungs to the blood that courses through our bodies. Consider His gift of our parentage, whom we have received, and the spouse whom He has provided, our children with whom we are so blessed. As well, He gives us the shelter and the food and the clothing and everything else that we need each and every day. Nothing is to be accounted as being ours by our own efforts. It is all because God has made it available through our complete trust and reliance upon Him. That is our humbleness of mind that should be in evidence as we contemplate our thankfulness to Him for all that He does for us. Then, in this morning's reading, reinforcing the passage of our consideration, we will highlight verse 5 one more time. Deuteronomy 9:5. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The value of the work of the Lord is strictly set in His omniscience. He knows the true and holy and just and sure reason that He does all things. He is not to be questioned by us as if we could ever know more than He is doing. All is set in His plan and His purpose in Christ Jesus. And that is in place long before the eternal ages even began. God is the supreme sovereign of the totality of all that He has created. What He chooses to do and how He chooses to do it will always be the very best and the most splendid and awesome way of presenting His perfect will as it unfolds in full accordance with His supreme authority. The prophet Ezekiel brings this to the forefront, as we can read together in a couple of passages in the 36th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. We will begin with verses 20 through 23, if you would please open to the Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, 20 through 23. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned My holy name, because it was said of them, "These are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of His land." But I had concern for My holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, "Thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for My holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. And I will vindicate the holiness of My great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove Myself holy among you in their sight." Notice that the Lord worked with the remnant of His people in order to show the whole of creation that He was the one who was holy and to be honored for all that He had done on their behalf. Even through the time of testing and the period of their capture and removal from the promised land, God was still actively working to show forth His testimony and His namesake in dealing with His chosen nation. Then in Ezekiel 36, 32 through 36, we have the following recorded. Ezekiel 36, 32 through 36. "I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt, and the desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passed by. And they will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste, desolate, and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left round about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it." Again, take to heart the truth that the credit, all the credit, belongs to the Lord for that which He does. His people acted with malice and hatred toward Him and His commandments. They chafed under the holiness that they were to present to the rest of the nations. They committed adulterous actions and immensely appalling and impudent and disgusting behaviors in the manner of thumbing their noses at the Lord, who only loved and kept and protected them. This was all the outworking of that audacity which infests the hearts and the minds of humanity in his every effort to declare his independence from especially his Creator. The Apostle Paul brings this into the light in the truth that we are now in, that what we are now in Jesus Christ is not because of anything that we did or can do or should do. It is now just as it was throughout the old dispensation of the law, the direct action and grace and mercy and love of God, as He does, as He chooses to do, for His name's sake in our lives. Please consider Romans 11, 5 and 6. Romans 11, 5 and 6. In the same way then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. We are brought face to face with the truth that all is by the gracious choice of God in our lives. We cannot take the slightest credit for any of it. Neither can we any longer delude ourselves that God needed to choose us because we were worth choosing through some efforts of or worthiness of our own making. All that is before us is that God so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son to save us unto Himself through the outpouring of His grace in His merciful action of our redemption. There was nothing that we could earn or deserve or manipulate or manage or handle in any manner whatsoever. Then in Ephesians 2, 1 through 7, the Apostle highlights what was so true of us until God made us alive unto Himself in Jesus. Please turn to it so we can relish the work that He has done in all His mercy and His grace and His love on our behalf. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This passage fully declares that all that was true of us. No matter how much we might have considered ourselves to be a good person. The truth is that we were dead in our sins and trespasses. There was nothing about us that was inherently worthy of any of the love of the Lord. In spite of that, because He is rich in mercy, He so chose to love us unto Himself and to make us alive together in Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved is not just a simple phrase that can be quickly read and then glossed over. It is the very essence of all that we have become by the working power and awesome merciful grace of God. As the Apostle Paul so wrote to his protege, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 11, it is the grace of God that makes us the workmanship of His so awesome and wonderful love. The full breadth and length and height of what God has done for us in the omnipotent work of His only begotten Son is revealing that great love with which He has so loved us. He abolished death and brought life to such as ourselves who were dead in our sin and trespasses. In Christ, He made us the instruments for the declaration of His so great love. 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 11. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. In our final passage of this morning, Titus 3, 3 through 7, the apostle sums up all that we need to have firmly and resolutely set into the core fabric of our being and of our understanding of the tremendous work of God to such as ourselves. It is the absolute contrast and negation of anything that we might have considered of value in our lives apart from the life of Jesus Christ. Titus 3, 3 through 7. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, the mighty and incredible and overwhelming and amazing love of God poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. We can never sufficiently express the full extent of the gratitude that we owe to God for saving us from ourselves. No matter how much we tried to make it on our own, lost in our sin and trespass and deeds of death, God made us alive in Jesus Christ. He did it all for the sake of His glory and His witness of holiness and the testimony of His wondrous and awesome name. Thank you, Lord. So be it. Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. Amen.